Yes.
So we're up to the second line. We're up to the second line that begins with Min ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam ata kael. Everyone see that? It's right below the words Nishmat kol chai. So that is where we left off last week. So the idea here is Min ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam. This is what we usually refer to as Lenetzach Nitzachim, right? The word Netzach comes into mind, which means forever, okay? So this is the eternity, or better yet, the eternality. That's the really good word to use here. Eternality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay? Which means basically what we talk about in Adon Olam, Hu Haya, so min ha'olam, from the beginning, v'ad ha'olam, until what we know as the end of normative time, and even after that, atakel, you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are the all-powerful. Remember, kel means koach bli sof, or ein sof. It means the idea of unlimited power. And that's what we're using here. So you have always been he who represents complete, total, unlimited power. So, min ha'olam, v'ad ha'olam, ata kael. Okay? We continue. Umi ba'aldecha ein lanu melech. And without you, okay, or besides you, okay, there is no king. Now, the first place that I'm aware of that this expression Bet Lamed Ayin Dalid is used, okay, and it's used actually in the Chumash with Yosef to Paro, and there the word is Bil Adai, which means it's not me, right? Hashem Ya'aneh. Hashem's going to give the answer, Paro, because if you remember, in Miketz, what happens? Paro is mystified by his dreams. Okay? He's mystified. He's dissatisfied. All of his, very sophisticated astrologers cannot help Paro find an answer to the meaning of his tefillah. Of his dreams. Okay? And he's confused. So finally, out of the pit, literally out of the pit, they take Yosef, and Yosef comes, and what does Paro say? I've heard that you can explain dreams. Now, this great moment where, just think of the way certain political candidates would operate. They'd say, yeah, it's me. I am the greatest. I am your savior. I am amazing. I am it. It is so good for you, Paro, to have met me. Okay? Instead, what do we hear from Yosef? Biladai. No. It's not me. Hashem ya'aneh et shalom, Paro. Hashem is going to provide the answer. Okay, so it's anytime you see this word of biladai, mi biladecha, okay, it's really harking back to there is nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, and that's what's happening here. Umi bal adecha ein lanu melech. And except for you, there is no king. So, okay, so maybe, what about Queen Elizabeth the Second? Okay, what about the king from, I think it was Thailand, who just passed away, and so forth. What do you mean, without you, there's no other king? So the answer is that what is the word that's juxtaposed to this phrase? Umi ba'aldecha ein lanu melech. The word was kael. Ah, there is no other king who could possibly be kael, total almighty power. That's the idea here. Okay? In what sense? So now we have a bunch of, in the computing world, when you write databases and so forth, they're called descriptors. In the everyday language, we call them descriptions. We have some descriptions of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. He's Goel. Okay, Goel means what, everybody?
Redeem.
Redeem, right. As in, Baruch Atah Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael, which precedes the Shemoneh Esrei, right? And then we start right away with Hashem Sifatai Tiftach. So the very first way of talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is that Hashem is Goel, which means He will bring the Geula, right? And Bimheira V'Yameinu Ayidei Mashiach Ben David. Okay, so you are the king. There's no other king besides you. You are the Redeemer, the Goel. You are the Moshiach. As in, as we've all studied and we've all sung how many times? Hashem Hoshia, HaMelech Yanenu, Yom Kareinu. You are our Savior. Okay? So when you translate these words into English, it sounds like you're, in a sense, moving into a set of descriptions that you don't normally think about when it comes to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, because other religions use the word Savior and Redeemer, which is, in a sense, why it's very, very good if you know. They did. Okay? Absolutely so. But it's very good that you can sensitize yourself to the original Ivrit, because I don't know about you, but I certainly don't, daven to the quote unquote Redeemer. Right, of Israel, I dive into Goel Yisrael. So it's very good to, that's why it's really good to know what the Hebrew actually means, wrap your head around it, and try to use those words. It's not a matter, and I want to stress this right now, it's not a matter of being from, in quotation marks, that you can use the Hebrew words. It's because the Hebrew words say so much more than the English words. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay?
There's something lost in the translation.
Oh, yeah, there is. I believe, I'm trying to remember. I think it was either Voltaire or Rousseau, but I think it was Voltaire. Voltaire was an anti-Semite, so I don't normally quote him, but he did say this. He said, every translation that exists is the equivalent of taking a bottle of expensive perfume and pouring it from one bottle to the next. He says, you may have, and of course he didn't know about atomic weights and all those kinds of precisions, but he said, you may have almost exactly the same amount of perfume in the second bottle, but the essence has escaped into the air.
In other words, watered down.
Yeah.
Something's lost
in translation. Mm-hmm. And I always liked that example, even if it did come from Voltaire. Okay. What's Voltaire's most famous statement about Jews when it was coming toward, the thoughts of changing society and so forth, right? He said, to the Jew as a man, everything. To the Jew as a Jew, nothing. And that was just the tip of the iceberg of his views on our people. Okay, so at any rate, we have Melech, we have Goel, we have Moshiach. Next, Podeh. Now, here's a perfectly good example. Obviously, when we have the word Goel, which is Redeemer, and Podeh, which could also be translated as Redeemer, you already know they're two different words. They're not the same. Because when you go to a Pidyon HaBen, okay, you don't exactly see the Mashiach at every single Pidyon HaBen. You'd like to, but you don't. So, also, we use the idea of Pidyon Shvuyim, which is the rescue of Shvuyim, right? And by the way, we just happen to live at a time in history where we don't normally think about that. Doesn't happen all the time. Okay, but you do. We're all old enough to remember when the PLO, Yimach Shemam V'Zichron, right? What did they do? They would capture airplanes, right? And that was Pidyon Shvuyim. Okay, so it's not like it didn't happen in our own lifetime. So what does this really mean? that the idea of podde. So I would say more than redeem, I would say it means really to rescue. Or if you want to, if you don't mind me waxing a little bit philosophical, it means that he who is capable of changing status, okay, to the positive. That's how I would look at it. What do I mean by that? So let's take the idea of a pidyon haben. What happens in a pidyon haben? Okay, everybody here, Kohen, Levi?
Levi,
so, okay, so you didn't have to go through it. We didn't have to go through it because I'm a Levi. You're a Kohen, Kohenet, right? So, and therefore, I guess there's only one. You're neither Kohen nor Levi, right? So you had pidyon haben, right? So what happened in that case? So the baby, technically, right, belongs to the Kohen, unless the baby is redeemed. So what are you doing? You're taking the baby from one status to another. Okay? Because the Bechorim, right, were the original Kohanim of Klal Yisrael. That's what really it was. And then along came the Kohanim and so on and so forth. So, but at any rate, that's what you're doing. It's a status change. Okay? So, for the positive. Okay? So you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you take us, okay, from the depths of desolation, from the depths of deprivation, and you change our status. That's, it's a rich word, isn't it? It's a very rich word, podet. In contrast to goel, which really goel is geula, which has messianic concepts attached to it. Everyone with me on this? Okay, next, matzil. Okay, so matzil is a word that we all know, because matzil sounds like, right? To save, right? Like hatzalah, right? Or as we generally say as Ashkenazim, hatzalah, okay? To be saved, okay? So you, but it's a different kind of saving. Because look, guys, this is why I want you to be sensitive. Moshiach and matzil must mean two different things. It's got to. It's got to. So Moshiach is, I would say, is like a sense of the ultimate, whereas matzil would mean the idea of being saved prior to the onset of the ultimate saving of, you know, Mashiach Tzidkenu. Because you never, never hear, to my knowledge, okay, that's a dangerous word to say never, never, but to my knowledge, you don't hear of matzil ever being associated with Mashiach. You hear Moshiach, right? That's the idea. Okay, next. Here's something that we must never lose sight of. Umefarnes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mefarnes, okay, which of course is related to what word? Parnasa, okay? And this really goes back to that same word before. Biladai, as Yosef HaTzadik said, it's not up to me. Everything is from Hashem. Everything. So, each of us in our lives have tried a variety of things to become wealthier. Right? Capitalist system. Okay? And by this point in our lives, we know. We could run against the wall 20,000 times a day. But we're probably not going to be out of the same economic status that we are today. No one in this room, okay, is blessed with, or maybe not so blessed, depends on your view, with being a multi-millionaire. If you were a multi-millionaire, okay, no matter how genteel you were, people would know. Okay, so, but each of us, Baruch Hashem, is rich in other ways. We are all blessed with children. Okay? Some of us are even blessed with grandchildren. Now, if that isn't being wealthy, I don't know what is. So, that's one idea. Parnassa is sustenance. Parnassa may mean that, okay, you're really not going to spend $50,000 on your midwinter vacation. But will you have a house? Will you have the food? Will you have the ability to feel, quote unquote, like a mensch, or whatever the Yiddish version of mensch is? Yes, that's having parnassa. I always like to say that having parnassa means that you can reasonably give the tzedakah that you want to give. That's having parnassa. Okay?
I want to restore my uncle. He went to the bank for a loan. And the loan officer goes, do you have collateral? He goes, yeah, $7 million in collateral. So the guy goes, if you have $7 million in collateral, why do you need a loan? He goes, well, one's Pessy, one's hiking, one's for all
the children. That's so cute.
That's very adorable. So, okay. Yes. All right, next. Umarachem. Okay, umarachem. That you are merciful. Umarachem. Now, we've all gone through this many times. Rachem comes from what word, guys?
Rechem.
Rechem means womb. So, isn't it fascinating that the word that we use to talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, showing, just to use the Yiddish for a minute, Rachmanus, isn't it fascinating that it comes from Rechem, which is even, you know, as no matter how we want to look at it, this is a biological feature of a woman, okay? So how do we look at it? Why are we saying this? Because as I've also pointed out many times, okay, a father and a mother will love their children if they're normal human beings, okay? It's the mother, almost all the time, who's more forgiving than the father. Almost always. How come? Because the mother has this never-to-be-severed connection with the child. The child could be 60, and the mother is 85. Does it make a difference? No. Still my child. Still my baby. Okay? So we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Umarachem, show us mercy. You are he who shows mercy as a mother does for her child. Okay? And lest you think you could survive, I'm not saying anyone in this room would ever have such an idea, but lest you think you could survive even for a millisecond, look what this tefillah tells us. B'chol eit, at every single moment. Right? At every time. Okay? Not just winter, spring, summer, fall, but dividing every part of winter, spring, summer, fall into months and days and hours and seconds and milliseconds. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachmanut each and every moment, and however small you want to go. Okay? Especially the next two words that come up. Tzara, when we're facing misery or facing potential misery, and tzuka. Tzuka, this happens to be a good English word to use for tzuka, anguish. Now, tzara is the same word as tzuras that we all grew up hearing. Okay? And unless, you know, how do you translate that? You can't. You can't. Tzara, okay, misery. I mean, does that really capture what tzuras is? You know, no. It's, in other words, if you really want me to give you an idea, I would say this. Tzara and sukkah are the existential and even the physical challenges that we face, okay, in life. And they're all the time. B'chol eit tzara v'tzukah. We just don't necessarily realize it, that it's all the time. Okay, we ask him for Kodesh Baruch Hu's Rachmanut. Now, next. Ein lanu melech. Okay, again, this is the emphasis here. Ein lanu. And by the way, ein lanu. Ein lanu is specific. Who's the lanu?
Am Yisrael.
Am Yisrael. So this is this. Think of it as, how many of you guys know any like Baroque music, like Bach, Telemann, okay, Vivaldi, okay. So they have certain modality of musical presentation. There's called point and counterpoint. Lahavdil, our tefillah here has point and counterpoint. We're going from the universal to the specific, right? Universal to the particular, namely Nishmat Kol Chai. Can't get broader than that. But just two lines later, Ein Lanu Melech, right? Which is referring particularistically to us. So it's interesting. We enjoy two kinds of relationships as the Jewish people. We're part of the universe, the cosmos. We're part of all existence. And then because we're the Ama Nivchar, Ein Lanu Melech. There's no other king for us. Okay, so we are living, just came to me because it's so clear now, we're living the Aleinu. That's who we are. We're living the Aleinu. First paragraph, Aleinu L'Shabeach Adonai Kol. Okay, but what's the second paragraph? That's universal. So that's what we do. That's really why that prayer probably resonates, that tefillah resonates so much. So Ein Lanu Melech Ozer. There's no king who can help. Okay? V'somech, and upon whom we can depend. Okay? Ela ata, except for you. The word somech is like the word smicha. Okay? So where's the word smicha come from? So a person would do vidui over the korban by pressing down on the korban. Okay, that's smicha. Okay, and v'yismach yadav al rosh hapar. He would press his hands on the steer. Okay, and then you do your vidui, and what you're basically doing when you do your vidui is you're transferring. So this, you're really telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, listen, Hashem, I know the truth. I really deserve to be up in that mizbeach. But because of your kindness, you're allowing a sacrifice to take my place. Very much like Akedat Yitzchak. Which is why, again, we keep going back to Akedat all the time. So, but you are the king upon whom we can depend. Because why? He's there 24/7. Never ceases. Every breath we take, every time our heart beats, every time our blood flows, okay? Whatever we're doing, we're always dependent upon Hashem. So far, so good. Everyone has the themes? All right. Next. This one's a very unusual statement. It took me a while to wrap my head around what this was talking about. Elokei HaRishonim V'Achronim. The God of the first and the God of the last? What are we talking about? So then I realize contextually it's talking about events. That you are the cause, right? That's why we say it's all up to Hashem, right? You are the cause of all events, both the first events, namely that start with what? Bereshit bara Elokim, et hashamayim ve'et haaretz, and the ultimate events when nature, in some way that we don't yet understand, is going to be still in existence, but we're going to go beyond nature. We'll be in the messianic period. Whatever that exactly will be, I hope we find out tomorrow. Okay, which has nothing to do with the election. I just want you to know that. All right, next. Elaka kol briot. Now, here we go. Remember what I said before? It's like point and counterpoint. So, universal, particularistic. Now we're back to what? Universal. The God of all creatures. Now, that includes anything and everything, like we said last week, that lives. right? From a unicellular, right? One-celled animal to the blue whale, and we're in betwixt in all of that, okay? Doesn't matter what it is, okay? I don't call Toledot, so the God of all generations, okay? From the very beginning to the Messianic time. Hamahulal b'rol v'tishpachot. Sounds very much really like Yishtabach, doesn't it? What a segue to Yishtabach, of course, which is what we say after we say this. All right? Okay? Melch mahulal v'tishpachot. Right? That's what we say when we finish Yishtabach. So it sounds just like that. Hamahulal b'rol v'tishpachot. Okay? He who is praised, okay, with endless amounts of praises. So, for example, okay, the famous Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanara, Kael Elyon, right, and so forth. That the only reason we can say that, and a long time ago when we were doing that in Tefillah, the only reason we can say that is because Moshe Rabbeinu said that. Had Moshe not said that, we wouldn't have permission, because really, can you ever stop praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course, the short answer is no. Never. So that's why we have Rov HaTishbachot. Even the Malachim, right, can't complete the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Now, before we talked about Rachamim, now we have another description of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules the world. So let me just mention one thing about that. I davened for about 12 years with one of my rebbes, Rav Chaim Halberstam, Shia Bad El Chaim, in Brooklyn. And my favorite time with him every single week, it's from Babav. He's a nephew of the Babav Rebbe. My favorite time every single week was Shalosh Shudas. And he always, because he had Shalosh Shudas with Rav Halberstam, was like Shalosh Shudas in Europe. Okay, there was no lights. Okay, because in Europe, by the time of Shalosh Shudas, what happened to the oil lamp? Went out. So there was no lights. The only lights we had was ambient light, lights from the outside, which was pretty tough for me because I'm so nearsighted. So when benching came, it was always a challenge. But the key that I'm trying to stress here is this. Every single week, Rav Halberstam would say, when he began his Shalosh Shudas drasha, he said it in Yiddish. I'm not a native Yiddish speaker, so I'm not going to try to repeat. But he said, always remember, he said, Yidden, always remember, Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Okay, which is really what Mindy began suggesting when we first started this evening. So, Minaheg Olamo. He rules the world. He drives the world in chesed. How do you know he does it in chesed? Because who among us could last if he wasn't doing it by chesed? Okay? Think of yourself and your own children. Okay? Why? What do they say about grandchildren? Grandchildren is a reward for not killing your own children. Okay? So you treated them with chesed. Okay, just like, what do they say? Insanity is hereditary. You get it from your kids. So, Hamanahageg Olamo Bechesed. The idea is what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always demonstrating chesed to us. Ubriotav. There you go. So now again, the theme is universal. He drives the world. Okay, a manhig, right, is a leader. Okay, so he leads the world through chesed. Ubriotav, and his creatures, barachamim, of course. V'Hashem, notice by the way, now that we've said chesed and rachamim, it would have been highly inappropriate to say Elohim. So what does the author of Nishmat go to? Hashem. V'Hashem, lo yanum v'lo yishan. If that sounds familiar, it is borrowed directly from Tehillim, okay? And that was Tehillim Kuf, Kuv Chaf Aleph Pasuk Dalet, 121:4, okay, which is a direct statement from David HaMelech. Okay. More descriptions that I... So Lo Yamun Lo Yishan means Hashem doesn't... He neither slumbers nor he sleeps. So, in a sense, if you were teaching a class of kids, and some of the kids who would be less sophisticated would probably say, duh, he's Hashem. Of course he doesn't sleep. Doesn't have to sleep. So what does this really mean? Lo Yanum V'lo Yishan. So, in other words, unlike an earthly king who does slumber, who does sleep, unlike the most powerful person in the world, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there. He's Mashgiach al kol ha'olam. Everything. Again, from the amoeba to the blue whale, to people, to every blade of grass. The Medrash says a blade of grass does not blow in the wind unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen. Right? That's very humbling, isn't it? Okay? It's very humbling. That's why, by the way, what there's a lot of things the Torah doesn't like. Okay, as Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Torah hates most of all hedonism. Absolutely hates hedonism. Okay? The raw pursuit of pleasure. Okay? That's something that's anathema to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the idea really is here that when we say Hashem doesn't slumber, Hashem doesn't sleep. In other words, he's always watching us. He's always mashgiach in our world. And, you know, he knows our feelings, our thoughts. And ultimately, you know, at Meiv Esrim, when we're called for judgment, they you know, one of the statements, famous statements, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will even review with you the sicha, the conversation you have with your spouse. So, in other words, this led Rav Soloveitchik to say very famously, whether you're in the boardroom or you're in the bedroom, you have an obligation to live as an authentically spiritual Jew. It's very powerful. Because, right, for example, take one of the principles upon which America is founded, right, the separation between church and state. That works great within a Christian view. We don't have that. Because Torah and mitzvah surround us in everything that we do. There is nothing where there isn't, quote-unquote, a Jewish way. That's represented by Lo Yanum Lo Yishan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipresent. Which is why, what is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Omnipresent? Hamakom. That's what it means. Okay? You ask your kid by the time he or she is in second grade, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem everywhere. Is truly everywhere. Right?
Starts in nursery school.
Okay, good, nursery school. But what does that mean? That means, really, he's omnipresent.
He's on the prowl.
Yep. And as I said last week, and in order to find out exactly where I needed to start this week, I listened to the end of the shir and I heard myself saying this. Okay. The idea is that if we were to be able to focus on the immanent, immanent, the immanent nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that he's omnipresent, he's everywhere at all times, none of us could ever do a chet. We couldn't do a chet. And that's why, by the way, what did Chazal say about a chet? Ein adam oseh chet ele ki im nichnas bo ruach shtut. Nobody can do a chet unless a spirit of foolishness comes into their mind. So what do you mean a spirit of foolishness? Because for just a minute, what have you stopped doing? Stop thinking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you stop thinking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, what's created? A vacuum. Once there's a vacuum, What does the Yetzer Hara say? Hey, my time!
I got you.
My time, I got you! Which is why, for example, if you're a Torah scholar, when you get thoughts that are inappropriate, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to sit down and learn. You're supposed to sit down and learn. Because Torah, right, is the greatest psalm, the greatest curative for those kinds of things. And if you're not a Torah scholar, right, and so take out a Sefer Tehillim. Okay? Why not? All of us need that. Okay? I mean, I don't have to tell you what American society and world society can be like. We need protection. And right? Just like Hashem is lo yanum v'lo yishan, we have to be on guard. Okay. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Hama'orer Yishenim. Okay? Now, Hama'orer is a great word. You know it from Hilchat Dodi. What do we say? Hitori, hitori. Right? So what does he do? Hashem wakes up the sleeping. Okay? V'hamekitz nirdamim. And he, now mekitz is like to jump up. And he causes the slumberers to jump up. So obviously, guys, you already know my approach. Hama'orer yishenim mekitz nirdamim. Do they mean the same thing? No. 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 So, yishenim to sleep is a more natural state than it is to slumber. Okay? So, for example, you go to a very late night shir. Okay, you go like, remember when you were young, you know, whatever young meant, and you actually went to slichus on Motzei Shabbos, okay, at 12:45, okay? So,
time.
Right, and what would happen? What would happen? So the rabbi gets up, and he starts talking about tshuva, and on occasion you're sitting there going, yeah, I'm really in tight tshuva. Okay? And you start slumbering. It's not that the rabbi is not fascinating. It's just that slumber. So that's not normal. Sleeping is normal. You're in your bed. You're in your bedclothes. You're comfortable. Okay? So what's going on? So this is speaking to everyone. Ma'orer yishenim. Okay? So you were a little, perhaps, forgetful, because it's used as a metaphor. You were forgetful of what you ought to do. In a sense, you slept through the shir, let's say.
Is that like Hashem okay? for forgiveness?
Say what?
Is that like Hashem for forgiveness because you're not on point?
Yeah, exactly. But this is not a real problematic kind of situation. Okay? But the next one really is Mekitz Nirdamim. The word Nirdamim is used, for example, in Hilchot Tshuva of the Rambam, where the Rambam points out that many of us, he doesn't say sleep through the year, he says many of us slumber through the year. Which means
we have some awareness.
We're like a complete unknown. We're not where we should be. We're not in any particular proper place whatsoever. Not, you know what? It's very interesting.
That's an eternal sleep.
I actually initially had that idea. And then I realized I was wrong. Okay? But I even have it here. The only person in the world who can read my notes that when they're crossed out is my wife. Okay? But I actually have Michaye Ametim, I have it crossed out. Because that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about people in a certain state where they're not truly connected to what they should be connected in. Especially near Damim, where people think, for example, I don't want to mention any specific names, but let's say certain starlets, okay, or stars who live, you know, lives that are counter to every single value that you and I maintain. But yet, the vast majority of people think, well, that's okay. These are the people who are near damim. Okay? Okay, last but not least, Mesiach Ilamim. Okay, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the mute to speak. And now, this part we're going to go through very quickly because we did this already when we did Birchat HaTorah. It's exactly Birchat HaTorah. Birchat HaShachar. Matir Asurim. Right? Loosens the bonds of those who are tied up, which can mean all kinds of things, both spiritually and physically and so forth. Somech Noflim. He causes the downtrodden to be supported. Again, that word, somech, right? Like we had before. Zokev kufufim. He causes the bent over to stand tall, right? And if you really want to go into this a little more, online, right, and the link that you all have, you can double check the Birchot HaShachar, where I go through each of these, as you remember, very carefully. And last but not least, because this is where we'll finish off for tonight, Lecha levadecha anachnu modim. Okay, what does that sound like? Modim anachnu lach. So you see all these wonderfully rich literary references to Tehillim, to Tefillah, to Birchot HaShachar, on and on. It's just amazingly beautiful. So if it was up to me, we would say Nishma Kol Chai for a minimum of a half hour. Of course, I'd be tarred and feathered and kicked out of any shul that exists on the planet. Okay? But if it was up to me, that's how long you would take to say Nishma Kol Chai. Okay, because it is so rich. All right, next week in Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll go on to the difficulties of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ilufinu male shira kayam. Even if our mouths were filled with song, like the sea is filled with waves and so on and so forth, we can never sufficiently praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So Mirtz Hashem, that is what we'll start with next week. I want to thank you all very much for coming.